يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِّسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون.
Believers, let not a group of men scoff at another group. It may well be that the latter at whom they scoff are better than they. Nor let a group of women scoff at another group. It may well be that the latter are better than they. And do not taunt one another, nor revile one another by nicknames. It is an evil thing to gain notoriety for ungodliness after belief. Those who do not repent are indeed the wrongdoers. It may well be that the latter are better than they.
Scoffing is not confined to committing that act by the tongue. One can scoff at another by mimicking him, by pointing at him in ways that make him a laughingstock, by subjecting another person's words, acts, face, or dress to derision, or by playing up any other defects that would make others burst into laughter.
And do not taunt one another.
This includes reviling, deriding, jeering, charging somebody falsely or finding faults with him, making him the target of reproach and blame by either open or tacit reference.
Nor revile one another by nicknames.
The purpose of this injunction is that a person should not be given a nickname or called by a title that degrades him. This includes addressing someone as profligate or hypocrite, calling someone blind or one-eyed, investing someone with a title that highlights any defect in his parents or family, or calling a convert to Islam a Christian or Jew, or causing someone embarrassment and humiliation. However, it does not cover those titles which might appear to be offensive, but which in fact are employed to point to a person's distinguishing marks by titles that do not injure his feelings, nor do they subject him to disgrace. For example, to call someone a blind physician is to identify him with a distinct attribute.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم.
Believers, avoid being excessively suspicious, for some suspicion is a sin. Do not spy nor backbite one another. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would surely detest it. Have fear of Allah. Surely, Allah is much prone to accept repentance, is most compassionate. For some suspicion is a sin.
The believers are being asked here not to be excessively suspicious, rather than never to entertain any suspicion at all. The reason for this directive is clearly stated. Some kinds of suspicion are sinful. One becomes guilty of this kind of suspicion when one suspects without justified reason, or when informing one's opinion about another person one suspects him, or one mistrusts a person's words or deeds when apparently he is a good person. It is also sinful to be inclined to negatively interpret a person's words and deeds out of suspiciousness, although it is equally possible he has a good intent.
Do not spy.
Do not spy means that believers should not go about prying into the secrets of others, nor should they try to investigate matters that pertain to others. Thus, they should refrain from reading others' private letters, eavesdropping, peeping into others' homes, and trying to dig out information about others' domestic or private affairs.
Nor backbite one another.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked to explain what was meant by backbiting. He said, "It is talking of your brother in a manner that would hurt him." He was further asked, "What if the defect mentioned by me is actually found in him?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, "It would be backbiting if the defect that is mentioned exists, but if it does not exist, then it would be slander." This makes it quite clear that talking ill of another person behind his back during his life or after his death is only permissible in a very limited number of situations. One may mention another person's defects only when, according to the standards set by the Sharia, it is absolutely necessary to do so, or when not mentioning a person's defects leads to greater evil than backbiting. Elaborating on this exception, the Prophet, peace be upon him, laid down the following principle: to attack any Muslim's honor without right is the worst kind of evil. The words "without right" in this tradition imply that in certain circumstances it is permissible to speak ill about another person in his absence. For instance, the person who has been subjected to a wrong by another has the right to lodge a complaint, stating the wrongs the other person did him. To convey the complaint of the wronged against the wrongdoer to a person who, in his opinion, has the power to save him from that wrong, it is also lawful to bring to light the evils of a person or a group to those who can do something to eradicate those evils. It is also lawful to state the facts of someone's misdeeds before a mufti to solicit his religious or legal verdict. It is also lawful to warn people against the mischief of a person or persons so that they might be on guard. It is also lawful to raise one's voice against those who are spreading immorality, religious heresies, or misleading ideas, or who are leading people to irreligiousness or subjecting them to oppression.
Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother?
Here, backbiting is likened to eating the flesh of one's dead brother. The reason for this is that the victim of the act is not even aware that someone has launched an assault on his honor.
يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ.
Human beings, we created you all from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, so that you may know one another. Verily, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the most God-fearing of you. Surely, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. The noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the most God-fearing of you.
In the verses above, the Muslims are provided with the necessary directives to keep their community immune from evil and corruption. But now, through the present verse, mankind is being warned about the major erroneous notion that has always led to the spread of evil around the world, namely, the notion of the prejudice based on race, color, language, homeland, and nationality. Addressing all human beings, the Quran emphasizes three basic points. 1. That all human beings have the same origin, that all of us have arisen originally from the same father and mother. Thus, all ethnic and racial entities that exist today are branches of the same family, their ultimate parents having been the same. 2. That it was natural for mankind to become divided, despite their common origin, into diverse national and tribal entities. While this diversity is quite natural, it does not provide any justification for some people to claim any inherent superiority over others. To consider some on these grounds as high and others as low, some as noble and others as ignoble, considerations of color, race, or nationality do not warrant people of any particular color, race, or nationality to regard themselves as superior to others. God created such diversities to foster greater cooperation and to enable these different entities to become mutually introduced. 3. There is only one basis for regarding one as better than the other, and that is on account of their moral excellence.
قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
The Bedouins say, We believe. O Prophet, say to them, You do not believe. You should rather say, We have submitted, for belief has not yet entered your hearts. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not diminish anything from the reward of any of your deeds. Surely, Allah is most forgiving, most compassionate. The Bedouins say, We believe.
This applies to some specific groups of Bedouins rather than to all Bedouins who embraced Islam. Observing that Islam's power was on the rise, some Bedouins had converted to Islam merely to remain secure from attack or to derive material benefit ensuing from Islamic conquests. Such people had not become Muslims from the depth of their hearts. They had simply enrolled themselves as Muslims by virtue of verbal profession of faith, a profession which was motivated by utilitarian considerations.
إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون
Indeed, the ones possessed of true faith are those who believed in Allah and His Messenger, and then they did not entertain any doubt and strove hard in the way of Allah with their lives and their possessions. These are the truthful ones.
قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ
Say, O Prophet, to these pretenders to faith, Are you apprising Allah of your faith? Allah knows all that is in the heavens and the earth. Allah has full knowledge of everything.
يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
They count it as a favor to you that they accepted Islam. Say, do not regard your accepting Islam as a favor to me. Rather, Allah has bestowed a favor on you by guiding you to faith, if you are truthful in your claim to be believers.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ
Surely, Allah knows every hidden thing of the heavens and the earth. Allah sees all that you do.